95 NTAFM, and we're here. And we're joined by our friend, in, I don't know if he's home or in Washington. I assume he's home, but let's get our representative in the 16th Congressional District is on the hotline. Don Manzullo, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good talking to you, my friend. My co-host is Paul Logan. You've met him.
But I'm glad you talked about macaroni, the inventor of radio.
No, that's Marconi.
Marconi.
And Okay, you're wise.
You're wise, you know. And we hope you're home. You're home for Thanksgiving, right?
The I've got a very low audio. Can you guys turn it up somehow? Yeah. I don't know what the
crank it up for him on that end. I have no control over that, Don. It's up to my producer. So can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Go ahead.
Okay, we're on the end. It's 7:09. Now you're on AM and FM, by the way, 100.5 NTA FM. I think this is your first broadcast with me on our new FM signal, so that's kind of cool. Are you? What Paul asked, and I didn't hear you. Are you back in the area?
Well, I'm in Washington. Our daughters are living in Philadelphia, and the only way we could get together for Thanksgiving was to have it this past Sunday.
Oh, okay.
In Washington.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So I'm stuck out here, but a lot of time on the telephone and staying in contact with everybody.
Right, but the Congress goes into a Thanksgiving recess.
They're out. We'll go back in session on Monday. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds like they've been in recess for quite a while, according to the news stories about this super committee and all that. That's number one I have to ask you about. Your reaction to the inaction of this super committee.
Well, it's interesting, Doug. If the super committee came to an agreement, the spending cuts were $1.2 trillion. If the super committee did not come to an agreement, the spending cuts were $1.2 trillion.
So there wasn't any urgent need to have it happen?
No, not what I'm saying.
Okay.
It was the way this thing was set up, and I thought it was sort of interesting, is that said, okay, if Congress wants to cut $1.2 trillion, you come to an agreement. If you don't do that, we're still going to cut $1.2 trillion. And in the end, the taxpayers save the same amount of money. The problem is, where do those cuts come from? But in the long run, $1.2 trillion is a long way from $15 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
And it sort of sets up a scenario where if you're going to have people that are polarized on one position and the other, can you get anything done? And the answer is still yes. The reason is that people are talking about, raising taxes, doing this, and the Republicans wouldn't move, they didn't want to raise taxes, and the Democrats insisted on raising taxes. In the middle of it all, the guy was unemployed. And he's sitting there wondering, what's going on? What are people doing to try to make a better environment for me to get back to work? And that's what I've been concerned about. In fact, ever since I've been in Congress, and let's face it, Rockford has always been the first to go into a recession and the last to recover nationwide. In 1980, we led the nation in unemployment at 25%. More people were unemployed in Rockford in the early 80s, proportionally, than during the Great Depression. And so, here's this great city straddling both sides of the Rock River, trying to find a way to get people back to work. And you know what, guys? We have 600,000 manufacturing jobs in this country that are unfilled. 600,000. That's double what it was a year ago when I was with former Governor John Engler with the National Association for Manufacturers, a meeting in Chicago last October. And so now we have an interesting situation. Paul and Doug, you talk to manufacturers all the time. They can't find skilled workers.
No, and that is absolutely correct. And we know, Congressman, as I go around the community, that manufacturing has really been one of the recovering parts of our economy. We've got manufacturers in Rockford that are adding hours and adding jobs, and they're selling quality products manufactured in Rockford all around the world. And what we saw in Washington, and I think what discourages people, is after this process with the super committee, that it seems that both sides have come out of it with nothing more than soundbite attacks against the other side.
That's right.
And one side says, well, you know, the Republicans are protecting the rich. And of course, the Republicans come back and say, well, the Democrats want to increase spending. And both sides have lost an opportunity to do some really positive things that could rewrite the tax code, could put legitimate incentives in there for people to get trained and for manufacturers to add jobs. And it's an unfortunate thing that they've lost a great opportunity.
And on that thought, Paul, and we've got to take a quick break.
Hello?
Are you still awake? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still awake. Okay. I'm thinking about Paul Logie's 1963 Datsun that he has a hard time getting fixed.
It's a little inside radio thing.
Yeah, I've never had a Datsun. I've never purchased a car other than an American-made, American-brand car.
You don't need to.
Not a Toyota, I guess.
Yeah. I don't do that.
I've always been an American buyer myself. Of course, my Chrysler, I have a Chrysler and I have a Chevy Trailblazer. The Chrysler was made in Canada.
Yeah. Now, I guess
that's a foreign country.
Under the congressman, last time one of the last times I was with the congressman in Washington, he was very, very kind. I visited with him in the afternoon, and he drove me to my dinner appointment in Georgetown. And we went down to this basement of the office building that he has his office in. And at that time, Don, you had a rather large car. You had like a Mercury or a Chrysler or something, but it was a good-sized car. I mean,
it was
very comfortable.
A van.
Was it a van?
No, a Chrysler van.
Was it? No, it wasn't the van. It was it was like a four-door sedan, as I recall.
So I got a Focus now.
Oh, I know. Now you upgraded and everything, but
Don, don't you have a driver? You don't drive.
Oh no,
yourself,
the congressman drove me
really?
To my dinner.
No driver.
It was really nice. I mean,
yeah, Paul, remember that you had a GPS on your watch because you said that you get lost going to the bathroom at night. How are you guys spending Thanksgiving?
Well, that's we're going to get to that in a minute with all three of us. But first, the guy's been waiting for 20 minutes to talk to you.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Dave. It's my fault for not telling you. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
and Mr. Angelo, happy holidays, and thank you for taking phone calls, which is more than most politicians do. Now, two quick questions. First one, on a well-run company, privately well-run company, I have a staff of 300. How many out of 300 do you think should get fired because either lazy or incompetent? And I have a follow-up question after your number.
Well, I thought you were referring to Congress, which says 435. I don't know. I really.
What?
Let me leave that
10?
Up to you.
You think maybe 10 out of 300 are either lazy or incompetent?
That's kind of a rhetorical question,
yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, well, I guess it depends upon the quality of the leadership.
It goes back to you, Dave.
I guess at any given period of time, you're going to have people that slack off. The federal government last year fired 11,000 people. Out of how many, I can't tell you, but I don't know. Let's say 10 out of 300, just for the heck of it.
Okay. Now, using your numbers, because I think last time I talked to you, that's the same number you said. Now, basically, using that math, those numbers, and the amount of federal employees, I did the math. Basically, in the federal government, only one out of 300 people ever get fired for laziness or incompetence. Now, and that's a well-run, and you said 15 for a well-run organization. Now, the federal government, we all know how well-run that is. And so basically you're saying one out of 300 get fired. Now, we're talking about people that are supposed to make sure our food's not tainted. They're not getting fired. We're talking, I just heard in the news that there's lead in our Christmas toys. They're allowing that in. They're not getting fired. Let's go to the Department of Justice, where probably over 50 people knew about Fast and Furious. And they're not getting fired. But you know what, sir? The only person I did know that got fired was the guy that was the whistleblower. Now, can you explain to me why is this happening in my country?
Thanks, Dave. We'll let him respond to that. Why was the whistleblower the only one fired, according to Dave?
I don't know. But this attorney general's got to take a good long look at whether he should have known about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
If he didn't know about it, there's got to be a big problem the way he's running that Department of Justice.
Have you joined the chorus of people in Washington that want his head, want him out of office?
Well, I'm almost there. I mean, I just, you know, you try to give somebody the opportunity to defend themselves.
Yeah.
But I mean, he can't defend himself. I mean, Jen Napolitano, the head of Homeland Security, said she had never even talked to Eric Holder about the situation. Never talked to the Attorney General.
Oh.
I mean, now you're talking about, Dave was talking about, you know, 300 people. Now you've got two cabinet officers who have never talked about the fact that Agent Terry was gunned down with an AK-47 that was bought by FBI agents in Fast and Furious and somehow ended up in the hands of Mexican gangsters who were 12 miles into U.S. territory when they killed him. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
No. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and a lot of us are in the mood for some happy talk on the show today. So what I want to do is get back to what you asked. Let's start with Paul Loglie and the Loglie traditions for this holiday week for Thanksgiving. What's a Loglie tradition?
We have people over for Thanksgiving, and on Saturday we have a big family gathering. We call it MIT, and it stands for Maggie's Institute of Tortellini. Maggie was my mother's name. And she taught everybody in the family how to make homemade tortellini. Every year, my mother's been deceased now for 11 years. Every year, we get together as a family and make homemade tortellini, which we then have on Christmas.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that really is a family tradition.
It's a wonderful tradition.
You know, I some Italian friends of mine, we get together and make those Christmas cookies. I can't pronounce them
Cucinati.
All.
Cucinati.
Yeah, that, all that stuff.
Cucinellinis and cucinati.
Well, you know, and now I'm going to let Don take his turn. And, of course, obviously I was friends with his mom and dad and his brother and that. And I remember going down to their restaurant in Manzullo's in the Milford, and the family worked. The familia, they really worked the thing.
Yeah.
And his mom and dad, they made spaghetti and mama's tangy baked lasagna and the fish
and
fry. I miss all that stuff.
I miss it. We were coming back from Champaign, going to a football game last Saturday, and I said, wouldn't it have been nice if Manzullo's were still open?
Oh, believe
we would have stopped there for dinner on the way back into town.
I wish Frankie wasn't so lazy. I really do.
Yeah, really. You got a lazy brother. There's a guy who should be fired. I mean, come on.
No, he does good stuff for keeping Northern Illinois beautiful now.
That's right.
He's
I know
a good guy.
Okay,
what's the Manzullo tradition, your family, for Thanksgiving in Washington?
A lot of things... You know, when I think about Christmas or Thanksgiving, I always think about coming home from college. And you open the door to the house, and you recognize it by the odors of the food they're cooking. Right, Paul?
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, it's a crazy thing. It's something that you'll smell somewhere. You smell some Italian sausage cooking.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it takes you back to when you were a child. And then Mom was in the kitchen with a big, heavy cast iron skillet, cooking sausage on top of the stove. Mm-hmm. It's just...
And Don, they made it look easy. We had, every Sunday, we had extended family for dinner. I mean, Sunday dinner. Not just talking about Thanksgiving, but Sundays. Somebody from the Loglie family or the Salamone family were at the house. And our mothers made it look easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we don't do that very often.
Not as much anymore. No. And you, all of you Italians, I know one thing about you, and you all have your own sugo, and your sugo is the best, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is. My brother's is the best.
Yeah. Now, we're going to take a quick break and back to the...
All right. I'm here with all my Italian friends, and I know you're my friends. And I said the other day, someday I'm going to need a favor. I got to work on Wednesday, and I'm going to call my friends. I talked to Mr. Manzullo in Washington, locally Mr. Loglie. These are my friends, and someday they will need a favor, and I will give them a favor.
Like hell I will. Put your mic on.
Forget about it. You got a favor, whatever you want.
You know what, Paul?
What, Don?
Doug is just jealous because he's not Italian American.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
he's got Italian envy.
I would like some transfusion with a little Italian blood because most of my friends are Italian.
Well, that's what you're doing every night I see at the bar. You're drinking the red wine.
Yeah,
that's a transfusion, right?
Don Manzullo, our guest on the hotline from Washington, and in studio, Paul Loglie, co-hosting here on 100.5 NTA FM. Go ahead.
Can I say something controversial?
Why not?
Well, you know what? Thanksgiving has always been a very special time. And now we have all these retailers opening up the stores, advertising Black Friday, making it difficult so that people can even be together, that families can even be together on such a precious day as Thanksgiving.
You'll get no argument out of me. I've been preaching that.
I agree. And, you know, some people traditionally eat their Thanksgiving dinner late in the day. You know, if you're sitting down at 4, 5, 6 o'clock for Thanksgiving dinner, which a lot of people do, and then you got to leave the table at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock, whatever. You know, you don't have time to really relax and visit with the family, and people have to get
travel.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, guys. Some companies, some Target employees, some Kohl's employees, some other employees of different companies, they are protesting and won't go to work. They'll probably be fired for it, but they're upset. You know, familia is important.
Well, and you pointed out, you can't travel. And how many people have the in-laws or the relatives that are a 2 or 3 hour drive?
Yeah.
And you can't do that. And that's it's not right. And the dollar should not be this supreme.
Thanksgiving is set apart so you can take really one day out of the year, you know, to thank God for our freedoms, for our families, where you can sit down. And, you know, you develop traditions, you know, such as, you know, the Detroit Lions losing every Thanksgiving day. until actually just the last couple of years. And then where do we get this, you know, this Black Friday reminds me of the mattress sales on Veterans Day.
Yeah. You know, and that's right.
We were in Washington one Veterans Day, took our kids to the Vietnam Wall. And there was a retired admiral speaking who had lost a son when his plane crashed on a carrier. And it was a very moving speech. And Fred and I expected to see that whole area just loaded with school buses. Well, school's in session. And the big ads in the newspaper were advertising Veterans Day mattress sales. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is Washington, D.C. This is Veterans Day, and there couldn't have been more than 200 people for that incredible ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Wall. And our kids are, you know, we homeschooled our kids at that time, so they were with us. And I'm thinking, you know, no wonder America is losing its traditions.
Well, the only thing we can do,
all
three of us, no, listen, all three of us have a duty to, and I have four grandkids, and you guys will be grandparents, and we have a duty, I think, because schools aren't going to do it. A lot of parents don't even remember, so I think it's up to the grandparents to pass along a lot of these traditions. A lot of these kids have no clue about a lot of these things.
But, you know,
except for one thing, the last non-commercial tradition that we have hung on to has been Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Until just the past couple of years, and I was reading an article in the newspaper where somebody said, "Well, so many people just think upon Thanksgiving as a Saturday Evening Post a caricature by Norman Rockwell." How are you supposed to think about Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I read something out of Washington, by the way, from the AP. Count your blessings this Thanksgiving. It's good for you. Psychologists have studied gratitude more in the last several years because of the economy and other things. They found in experiments that counting your blessings is one of our most powerful emotions. In other words, it's good for you to count your blessings, and especially in hard times like these. Keep a journal of what you're thankful for. Talk about it all the time, not just at the Thanksgiving table, but it helps us connect.
It's been a very interesting year for us because, you know, we almost lost Frida over Memorial Day holiday.
So you really have something to be thankful
for.
There you go.
We really do. She had stopped breathing, and thank God I knew CPR, and the 9/11 lady was forceful enough to walk me through it. And when our family gathered together on Sunday, I went to say the blessing. I got two words in. I lost it.
It has to be a really emotional thing. Frida is such a wonderful person. She's been, she's your boss.
She's my boss.
That's right. You do have a lot. You have a lot to be thankful for, and frankly, we all do.
Sure.
And I hope we don't get lost up in the commercialism. But I am concerned that, okay, so this year they start at midnight. Next year they're going to start at 10 p.m. Next year, noon.
This year,
well,
summer.
No one's open all day. And the thing is,
what's the point? I mean, the money's going to be spent. So why don't they all agree we're going to open at 8 a.m.? And people, at 8 a.m. on Friday. And what's the big deal? What is this big rush?
Well, my wife works in retail, and she says it's a copycat mentality.
Yep.
We got to do it because they're doing it. And that's what's happening. I got to get to some phone calls.
What we need is a law. We need a law.
Yes, pass something. Pass something, Don. Let's get to Patrick, and then a quick call from Jake. Patrick.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Patrick.
There. Don, I got a comment for you now that you're still in politics. You know, the average Joe Q public out here is scraping their pennies to make a living. And we listen to the radio and we listen about, and it's not just Obama, it's all these presidents, and we want to cut pennies here and there, and we got to cut $1 trillion. But why don't we start by getting rid of this hauling a Christmas tree and sending hundreds of thousands of dollars across the country? Why do we have to pick 100 different turkeys and pardon two, and we got one turkey to pick between the two of it that are going to be get amnesty and not become a Thanksgiving dinner? Let's start at all those little things. There's a lot of people that just wish they had a turkey this Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Patrick. And we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Don Manzullo, the congressman in Washington, and Paul Logley is here. And we've had people waiting on the phone a long time. I don't know who's – I'm going to try line three. It might be Bob. It might be Jake. I'm not sure.
No, it's Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Jake.
Yes, Don, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to hear you went to the Vietnam Memorial on Veterans Day. But I'd like to know why, in God's name, you and other people in Washington haven't taken Panetta to task for the soldiers being dumped in a garbage dump, their remains being dumped in a garbage dump. And he was on television, and I can quote him as saying, oh, they won't be fired, but they'll be disciplined. What in the hell is going on in Washington?
From the Germany, right?
Pardon?
The soldiers that died in the hospital in Germany.
And were dumped in a dump right
here. Yeah, well, Panetta's all over that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're doing a pretty thorough investigation, but Panetta's a pretty tough guy. And
not too tough. He said they'd be disciplined, not fired.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. All we know is that it's a very unfortunate thing happened. We're doing an investigation on it, and I think if it's somebody really knew what was going on and did it purposely, somebody might get. But the thing is, if you're in the service and you get a certain discipline, that's the equivalent of being fired.
Thank you, Jake. I got one.
Then they forced the retirement.
One more call. Bob, you'll be our last caller for our gentleman here. Bob, good morning.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I enjoyed both of you people. Paul Logley, I've dealt with you in the past, and I respect you.
Well, thank you, Bob, and I hope you're having a good morning here.
I'm trying to, but I have my license in jeopardy. Why can't we get my license back?
I'll put you on hold, and I'm going to get your name for Paul, and we can take care of that off the air. Right now, I just want, and Paul's going to stay here a while, but we're going to let Don go. He's got things to take care of in Washington, and I want to thank you so much to all your family, the Frida, the kids, from Paul
right.
And I.
Yeah, Don, it's have a great Thanksgiving. Yeah. I hope you can find some time.
And Doug, it's always good to talk. It's always good to remember days like this. And, Doug, I can't think of a morning before Thanksgiving when we haven't chatted.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of good memories over the years with your mom and dad and Frankie and Frida and the kids. We wish you all the best. God blessings to you and your family, to Frida yourself. Keep up the good work in D.C. And I hope everything works well so you can continue to be our representative in Washington.
Yeah, right? We're working on it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you rest up for the next couple of days. And Monday, go back into session and give them heck.
Bless you guys. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Congressman Don Manzullo from his...